Congregation, please open your Bibles in page 938. 938. This is Matthew chapter 6. We are going to read verses 5 through 13. This has to do with the Lord's Prayer and how the Lord is teaching His disciples to pray. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, in page 938 of your pew Bibles. Hear, congregation, the reading of God's Word as He speaks to His people. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Also, please open your Trinity Psalter hymnals in page 894. 894. We will be considering question and answer 117 and 118. This is again in page 894 of your Trinity Psalter hymnals. And we will finish Lord's Day 45, dealing with prayer, question and answer 117 and 118. Let me read for you 117. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God, who has revealed Himself to us in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. Question 118. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. Thus far, the catechism reading. If you can, please let open your Trinity Psalter hymnals in page 894 as we finish considering the prayer and Lord's Day 45. Dear congregation of the Lord, maybe you have heard this name, but the name that is a name that is very famous today in the evangelical world is this pastor called David Yonggi Cho. David Yonggi Cho. He is the pastor of one of the biggest congregations in the world with more than 800,000 members. So it's a big congregation in Korea. And since this is a huge congregation, a big congregation, he is very famous. And he started writing several books, and one of his books that he writes deals with prayer, and the name of the book is The Fourth Dimension. And this is a very famous book in the evangelical world. In that book, David Cho affirms that an effective prayer is a prayer that finds where the will of the Holy Spirit is, and you align your will with the Holy Spirit's will if you want things to happen. Now, I know that sounds confusing, but he put it like this. He affirms that if you want God to do something, then you need to take verses from the Bible and use them in your prayers. And since God cannot deny Himself, He cannot deny your petitions. So I have heard prayers like this. Father, your word says that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. Give us strength to win the lottery. Or, Father, your word says that we are heads and not tails. So honor your word and give us the first place in next week's contest. Or perhaps the most ridiculous one I have heard is, Father, your word says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives us life. So please help me in my exam tomorrow make the answers appear in my head. These are the kind of prayers that David Jungi Cho has influenced evangelicals to pray. And if you realize, every evangelical church has been influenced directly or indirectly by this book. And maybe even you, boys and girls, have classmates in your school that pray or talk like that. It's very common. In the end, his method for prayer, what does is just putting what we want, our desires, at the center instead of Christ. But when we come to the catechism tonight, what we find is that the catechism is very concerned about Christ-centered prayers. And contrary to the prayers that are man-centered and that trying to twist God's word, trying to compel God to do what we want, the catechism is teaching us how we can pray prayers that honors Christ. It is the concern of the catechism then that all that we do, all that we pray about, and all that we shine to this world has to be done in a Christ-centered manner. Because we belong to Him, because He has called us as His people, because we are sons and daughters of Him, then our prayers have to be directed to God in a Christ-centered manner, because He has been the one who rescued us. So we need to ask several things according to the catechism tonight. The first thing is, how does a Christ-centered prayer look like? The second thing is, what are the things we need to pray for? And finally, the third thing is wrong to pray God for things, for physical things? Is it wrong to pray God asking for physical things? And the catechism replies to these three questions with two questions and answers and several answers for us. First, the catechism says we need to ask according to His word. And this is in question and answer 117, part A. Second, the catechism says we need to ask God with a humble and confident heart. This is part B and C of question and answer 117. And finally, the catechism says asking for our needs in question and answer 118. So we have 3 points tonight: asking according to His word, with a humble and confident heart, and finally, asking for our needs. This is in question and answer 117 through 118. So let us see then our first point, asking according to His word. Look with me again and read with me again a first part of question and answer 117. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, says the catechism, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God. And notice, boys and girls, that the catechism is saying to us tonight, we need to pray to God, to no other than God. And at first, this sounds very logic and very easy to say. Of course, we need to pray to God. But the reality is that in practice, this sometimes is very difficult. Because when we pray God, taking account only of what we want, of what we desire, then we are putting ourselves at the center and not Christ. Then the focus is no longer God, but us. When we pray asking God what we want, what we think is fair, what we think we deserve, in doing that, we are not praying to God, but we are being the center of our prayers. And this happens even when we have the best intentions with our prayers. Let me just put an example of that. I had a friend, his name was Andrew. And Andrew had cancer, and he died of cancer several weeks ago. And a friend of mine was praying for him, and I was praying for him too. And then he dies. And my friend came to me, and she says, I don't understand. I was praying. Why God didn't heal him? I'm just angry. I can understand this. God has to do what I told him. Why he didn't heal Andrew? That is not fair. So can you see this? This person, my friend, was angry because God didn't do what she asked. And she believed that if she asked enough, if she prays enough, then God had the obligation to do what he was asking for our friend. That congregation and boys and girls is a man-centered prayer because it doesn't submit to God's will, doesn't submit to what God will for our lives is. And when that happens, she reacted in anger, believing that God had the obligation to respond her prayer. Now, I'm not saying that we are not to pray for the sick. I'm not saying that we are not to pray for people who is experiencing difficulties and that the Lord can heal people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that sometimes God's will is different to what we want, and we need to submit to his will. In fact, the Bible itself commends praying for sick people. An example of that is 3 John verse 2. John says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." So John himself, the apostle, is praying here for his friend to have good health. But if he has good health or not depends on the Lord. He is the one who gives or takes away. And our prayers need to take account of that factor. We need to put ourselves, submit ourselves to God's will. When we are not, when we react in anger, then we are being rebellious. It's as if we say, "God, you know what? I could have done it differently. I don't like it. You need to do what I say." And how proud is that? But contrary to that attitude, the Catechism is calling us tonight to have Christ-centered prayers. Prayers that are submitted to God's will. And let me ask you then tonight, have you had these kind of prayers? Have you felt sad or even angry when the Lord has not answered to your prayers? That happens a lot. But what a comfort and what a great joy it is for us to know that even though we sin, even though we feel sad, even though we feel angry, we can come before the Lord and that he is with open arms to forgive us when we sin, when we want to twist God's arm. He is ready to forgive. He is ready to be open to us. Also, remember, congregation, last week that I told you that the Lord is pleased because of Jesus Christ to hear your voice. When you come in prayer to him, he is glad and he is delighted in your prayers. But the question that the Catechism tonight asks is now, is God delighted in any kind of prayer? How are we to come to the Lord? In other words, what is our guide or what has to be your guide to come in prayer before Christ? What things do we need to ask for when we pray? And the Catechism concern about that is affirming to us that just as God has spoken to us according to how we need to worship him, and he is giving us guides in his words, in his holy word about how we are to worship him and how we are to serve him, in the same way he has given us guidelines in the scriptures to pray to him. To know how we are to come before him. And we need to understand, especially you boys and girls, that when God leaves directions to us, when God speaks to us in his word, it's actually something good. Because he knows what we need. He made us. He knows what we what our needs are, what our hearts long for. And therefore, when we look on the Bible, when we look in the scriptures for a guide, we're actually looking to ask to him what he wants to give to us, what is good. Our Father is a good Father, and he gives good gifts. And those good gifts are found here in the Scripture. And this is the guideline that teaches us how to pray. That's why Psalm 145 says in verses 18 and 20, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So we come to the Lord in truth, with His word. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He destroys. We pray to the Lord according to the truth of the Scriptures then. His word then is the guide that we need to approach to the Lord in prayer. A proper understanding of His word, not a twisting approach to His word, which is what Cho is teaching in his book. Oh, you take this Bible verse and twist it so God can do what you want. No, a proper understanding of His word, a proper interpretation of what the Bible teaches us to pray for, help us to pray correctly. And that kind of prayer brings glory to God. So a Christ-centered prayer is a prayer that is directed to God, that does not replaces God with our desires, that takes account a correct understanding of God's word in order to properly ask according to His word. And this leads us then to our second point, with a humble and confident heart. Look with me, second and third literals of 1:17. Second, says the Catechism, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayers because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His words. So the question is, how should be our attitude when we pray? Boys and girls, how is your attitude when we come to the Lord? And I'm asking you this because your generation and my generation has lost something when we pray to God. And what we have lost is respect and reverence. And the Catechism is speaking to us that we need to be humble before the Lord, that there is a correct attitude of our heart when we pray. And we have lost that in my generation and younger generations. Let me illustrate that with an example. I was visiting a church in Quito several years ago, and I entered in the sanctuary, and the service started, and the person who was leading the worship service says, let's pray. And he bows down his head and says, hey, what's up, buddy? How are you? We think you are awesome. Yeah. Amen. That was it. That is perhaps the most extreme example I have seen of irreverence. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is not your buddy. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He deserves respect. He deserves your awe. And that small example shows how prideful we are as a society, believing that God is one of us, that we can treat Him as one of us, rejecting His holiness, His transcendence, His all-powerfulness. Contrary to that, the Catechism calls us to Christ-centered prayers, taking account of who we are, of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, humbling ourselves, recognizing that we don't deserve being before His presence, that we have been rescued, that we don't deserve to be here, to be heard, but that He has given us His blessings anyway because He loves us. That's why Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. Humbleness, recognizing who we are, recognizing who He is, a transcendent, almighty, powerful God. A humble attitude is necessary before the Lord, being aware that we are not in the same level, that we are His creatures and He is the Creator. But also, there is another danger, and there is the danger of false humility. The danger of false humility. That's another problem that is very prevalent in the church. And it's even more difficult to identify because it dresses itself as piety. Let me illustrate this with an example. I remember being in a Bible study, and my friend starts praying, saying this, God, Our Lord, we don't deserve anything. We are just trash. Our sins stink before you. We are worthless. We are not even amoebas. In fact, we are worse than that. We are worse than amoebas, and we deserve death. Amen. And that was it. That was his prayer. Well, let me tell you, that is not healthy either. Because when we say that we are amoebas, worse than amoebas, we are rejecting who we are in Christ, what he has done for us. A Christ-centered prayer understands that though we are sinners, and that is true, and that though we need to confess our sins, we are also the people who have received God's love. He loves you. That's why he sent his son to die for you. You are not an amoeba then. Yes, we are sinners, but even there, Christ died for you. And we need to understand this, especially you boys and girls. Christ loves you. That's why he died for you. And when we say we are the worst of the sinners, oh, we are amoebas, we're actually rejecting the wonderful reality of who we are. Sons and daughters of the King. This reality of adoption, this reality of forgiveness in Christ, should make us humble. Because we have a place besides him. Because he has been moved in mercy towards his people. And this reality helps us understand that God is not a God who wants to crush us, who wants to destroy us. But in Christ, God is a God who has received us as his people. That we belong to him. That we are seated in glory with him. So, Christ-centered prayer also takes account of who we are. That is why we need the Word of God as our guide. Because it saves us from pride, but also from false humility. It helps us to see who we are in reality. It moves us from confession of sins to thankfulness, to have a proper understanding of who we are. We understand that we are people who have sin, yes. But after we confess, we understand that the Lord has been merciful to us and that has forgiven us, that we received that from him. Now, but also, let me make you some questions. Okay, so we are sinners. Okay, we confess. Okay, we have a proper place before the Lord. But then we need to ask, what happens when we are experiencing dark times? What happens when life seems to make no sense? When you want to cry? When you don't understand what is going on in your life? Times in which life is so dark that you feel angry or sad or even depressed. When you don't see the light after the tunnel. So the question is, can we come before the Lord talking to him like that, saying to him how we feel about it, even crying? Can we? Has the Lord given us permission to do that? The answer is yes. That's why we read Psalm 38 tonight. Because Psalm 38 actually is a good example of a prayer who discloses itself before the Lord. Opens the heart of the psalmist and show us that something is not going well with him. And he tells to God that. And he has the confidence that he is going to listen to him. The psalmist is saying, Lord, I don't understand. Doesn't make sense to me. I am a sinner, yes, and I'm paying the consequences, yes, but I don't understand. This is difficult. It hurts so bad. I'm going here, and my enemies are there. They want to kill me. I'm going over there, and it hurts. Please help me. I don't understand why is this happening. Lord, please help me. Can you hear these words? How you pray like that? Coming before the Lord in suffering, in pain. He doesn't reject you. He understands you. He receives you. He knows you. He listens to you. A Christ-centered prayer understands that though we will suffer in this life, though we have tribulations in this life, He is not surprised. He doesn't reject us. He hears what we have to say. And we need to come in confidence because He will hear. We can pour our hearts out to God because He will not laugh at us. He will not make fun of us. He will hear. He will understand. A Christ-centered prayer knows that God is not far from us, that we have confidence to tell Him how we feel about suffering, that sometimes we don't like it, and that is difficult for us. And if you are doubting about me, let me read another psalm for you. Psalm 102 says, "Hear my prayer, Lord. Let me cry for help. For help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me. When I call, answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke, my bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud and am reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on a roof." What a beautiful, beautiful poem. What a beautiful prayer. "Lord, I don't understand. This is so hard. Why are you not hearing me?" Though the psalmist knows that the Lord is hearing, but he is just pouring out his heart to the Lord. Have you come to the Lord in prayer like that? The Bible is not calling us to be stoic about our feelings. The Bible is not calling you to pretend that everything is okay. The Bible is calling us to understand that we can approach God with our sufferings. Now, the Lord, boys and girls, is calling us to meet Him in prayer. He wants to wash away our tears. He wants to comfort our hearts, our souls. And do you know why? Because Christ became a man. He understands you. He knows what it feels like. He knows what it means to feel abandoned, what it means to feel rejection. He knows that. So a Christ-centered prayer is also a prayer that comes to the Lord as we are, with our ups, but also with our downs. Being honest before Him, knowing that He will hear, that He will do, that He will reply to our prayers, that He will have the right cure for our souls. This leads us then to our third point, asking for our needs. Look with me at question and answer 118. What has God commanded us to ask Him? Everything we need spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. So there is this danger I have noticed of believing that God doesn't care about our physical needs. There is this danger of believing that God is only concerned about our spiritual needs, but the physical needs, oh, that's bad. You don't ask that to God. He's not concerned about that. Don't ask Him. But that is not true. That is actually a lie. That was actually introduced in the church by a philosophy called Neoplatonism. Neoplatonism. And to avoid that mistake, that's why we read the Lord's Prayer tonight in Matthew 6. And if you see carefully in the Lord's Prayer, you will see that verse 11 says, "Give us today our daily bread." So your physical needs are not far from God. God is also interested in that. A Christ-centered prayer is also a prayer that asks for your physical needs. That is not a sin. God is not indolent to our physical needs. He cares for us. He wants to provide for you. And now this maybe will be different according to different places and different cultures. For example, a person in Venezuela can read this Bible verse and he will say, "Oh God, thank you, because I know that tomorrow I will have a loaf of bread." And that's it. That's all that he asked for. But here, if you read this Bible verse, maybe you will think, oh, thank you, God, because I will have a job. Thank you, God, because I will have clothing. Thank you, God, because I will have food and a good school for my children. And that is okay. The Lord provides in different ways for His people. The point of this verse is, God will never let you die of starvation. He will provide for you. And we can come before the Lord with confidence, asking Him for provision, for crops to be harvested, for job opportunities, and some other things too. Because we know the Lord will provide for us. He will never let us die of starvation. And that doesn't mean that always will be easy. And let me put an example about this. I have a friend who lost his job. And he was first 3 months without a job. And next, the 3 months became 6. And he had a family. And he had the rent to pay. And the job didn't appear. And he was praying. And he was suffering. And nothing happened. And then he started falling into depression. But you know what? Never, not a day of his life, his table was without food. And always the Lord found ways paying the rent. I mean, of providing him to pay the rent. So he was never without a house, never without a morsel of food for his children and for him. The Lord provide. And the Lord will provide for you too. After the 7 month, he actually found a job, and a good job. And then he was able to take care of his family. So even though he was falling in depression, doubting, the Lord was being good with him. So can you see that? Even though we fail, even though we doubt about the Lord, even though we sin, even though we doubt about the Lord in our trials, He is always faithful. He always provides for us. We are in His hands. And yes, we can forget about having Christ-centered prayers. And yes, we sometimes can be selfish in our prayers, praying only for what we want. And yes, we can sometimes fail about the goodness of God. But you know what? The Lord never forgets. The Lord is always for us. The Lord always provides for us. And in coming to Him in Christ-centered prayers, we are coming to the one who can provide for us eternal things, but also physical things for our good. Christ-centered prayers then help us to find comfort in the fact that even if the world abandoned us, even if our parents abandon us, boys and girls, the Lord will never abandon you. He is for us. He is our fortress. He is our protector. He will never abandon you. And you can come to Him in prayer. Isn't that awesome? We have a God who watch over us. All of that because of Christ. So may the Lord help us to seek His face always, always in Christ-centered prayers. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, what a comfort it is to know that you listen to us, that we can come to you with our doubts, with our struggles, with our sufferings, and that you are there to hear, that you are not surprised by suffering, and that you have given us permission to talk to you about how we feel, and even to cry before you. What a joy it is to know that you can give us peace, that your Son, Jesus Christ, is for us and not against us. That He understands, and that in Him we can find everlasting life. Please help us to always remember that and to always rise before you Christ-centered prayers so we can glorify your name and grow our relationship to you, with you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.